K6BB.
QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, a plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, I want to make one announcement and want to issue a thanks to everybody out there today helping to participate, eyes and ears out there on a incident we had over towards Holcomb Valley. Evidently, I think that has been contained. Appreciate all that help with the ECS group and other members of the club and other people that are just hams out there helping out, so appreciate all that. Kudos to all of you. Thanks for the help. And we're glad to see we can rely on you guys out there. It's great. All right. Any other announcements? One more chance. All right. Topic for the evening. Carryover from last week. We have a printed article here, about 5 pages of operating your ham radio in an emergency. Very good article. Sent that out last week to a few people who wanted a copy. We'll go through that this evening, and pretty good. Hopefully we'll get through the whole thing. Got a lot of good information based on a lot of common sense here, so I think it's a pretty good article. All right, well, go through the roster here real quick and check out some of the people there and check them in here of who's out there and who's not. Let's start with WB6CLZ Mike, I believe in Placentia.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ standing by and looking forward to an interesting net tonight.
Okay, Mike, roger that. Were you able to bring that copy back down the hill with you?
It's right in front of me right now, so we're ready to rock and roll. We just need to know where to start, and I'm sure you'll remember. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, roger that. Appreciate that, Mike. WB6CIN, Cindy.
This is WB6CIN, and I'm looking forward to the subject.
Okay, Cindy, appreciate you you and Mike being out there every week. Even if you're working, you're out there. KA6CIA, George, I think he's in Fonskin.
Yes, you are right. KA6CIA.
All right, George, hey, glad to have you out there once again this week. Appreciate that. Do not know if we've got KE6RJ on Echolink or KE6QI. We'll give them a chance to come in. Okay, nothing heard. AF6ZJ, Guy, are you out there from Rosemont? Nothing heard. Don't know. This guy's been out there or beating down the weeds. KI6FKN, Chris, you out there or are you still working? All right. Nothing heard. He might join us later. KJ6HCS, Mike, Fonskin.
Evening, Tom and Matt. KJ6HCS, no traffic.
Hey, Mike, and we'll give K6EKX courtesy check-in if he's out there on the scanner. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL out here in the boondocks.
All right, well, boondocks, maybe you're up here. Hey, if you are, that's great. Beautiful days up here. KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with KDK in the kitchen making another batch of that wonderful chili.
Hey, Jim and Rosemary, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Let's see here. W6GZI Frank. You out there?
Yes, for a little bit. This is W6GZI. Good evening.
Okay, Frank, glad to have you around for a little bit, even if that's plenty good. Okay, appreciate it. KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, whichever applies. KI6IQA.
They all apply. Depends what time zone you're in. K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GVL.
Okay, Ron, got you in there. A little scratchy, but got you in there. How about AD6PL? Harold.
Evening, AD6PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there. How about N6BOP, Ann from Pomona? Are you out there this evening? She might be on the other repeater. How about K6LCS? Clint, are you with us this evening from Haruka Valley? And nothing heard, and we courtesy check in for Art, W6AWL, who is in New York. W6JOM, Judith.
Good evening, Tom. I hope that you're reading me. I'm on this little handy talkie here. Good job with the with the ECS communications this afternoon, Tom. This is W6JOM.
All right, Judith, thank you for that. And everybody else out there, thanks you for that. And appreciate you could be out there also. And fortunately, we weren't officially activated, but I think we had a lot of people out there ready. That's great. So, how about W6KMM, Ken?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM. I have no traffic.
Hey, roger that. Both coming in okay in HD, or I think that's what you're using there, so you're in there solid. KI6OHN, John, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Howdy, K6YNW.
Hey, Chris, glad to have you again. Carry on the topics from last week. Appreciate that. KD6LAN, Bill.
Good evening, all on net. KD6LAN, no traffic.
All right, Bill. Thanks for being out there and being out there today, too. Is W6PBZ, WB6PBZ. Ray, sounds like you're up on the hill here. Are you out there?
WB6PBZ from downtown Big Bear.
Well, that's definitely not Rancho Cucamonga. Glad you're up here, Ray. And, hey, thanks for all the input this afternoon, and appreciate that. All right, let's see. We got KJ6BCK, maybe. Adam, Garden Grove. And nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor? And nothing heard. KE6BHM, Frank. Nothing heard. How about KA6ROD, Rod? Rod will probably be with us later. KJ6DBS, Leon from Arrow Bear. And nothing heard. Let's see if this guy's out there. K6OKG, Robert. Man, nothing out there. KB6LTY, Christy.
Good evening, KB6LTY.
Christy, glad to have you out there this evening. How about AE6TV, Hans? And nothing heard. Let's see. We have, how about NQ7RD, Rick in Corona? Nothing heard. K6TUX, Guy, 29 Palms. Alrighty. Well, that's all we have on the net roster there. Anybody like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
LCS, late check-in.
WA6, Mike Queen Fox.
KJ6MYV.
Kilo Kilo 6 Alpha Charlie.
KC6OWI.
All right, got you in here, Clint, K6LCS, glad you could be here, and WA6MQF, Bob, appreciate that. We got KJ6MYV, didn't get a name, want to come back.
The name is Larry, Lima Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Yankee, over.
All right, Lenny, good to have you out there. How about, I think I had a KK6 Alpha Charlie.
Yeah, Kilo Kilo 6 Alpha Charlie. Name's Jerry, and I'm in Bakersfield.
Jerry, Bakersfield. Quick question. Are you on a base, and what are you running? That's pretty far out for our repeater. Glad to hear you out there.
Well, I've known about the repeater since I became a ham radio operator in the 90s. But I'm just running a base station, and about the antenna's about 30 feet in the air. It's a GP9N made by Comet, and I'm running a Kenwood TS-2000, and that's it.
Well, roger that. Glad to hear you out there from Bakersfield. Fantastic. Going to have to tell John, CYS. He always tells me he can't hit us from Bakersfield, so there you go. Well, he's got no excuses. Had another one in there of, I believe it was Kilo Kilo 6 WY. I'm not sure if that's the right call. Please come back.
It's Kilo Charlie 6, Oscar Whiskey Yankee. The name is Dennis Hesperia on an HT. Using a 5/8 wave mobile mount, just trying it out tonight.
Hey, Kilo Charlie 6, sorry about that. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for coming in here from Hesperia. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there who likes to check in as a guest, please come back.
K1NEC, Robert and Covina.
Robert, could you please come back with your call one more time?
K1NAC.
All right, appreciate that. Thanks for checking in this evening. Anybody else out there, please come back.
KG6YCB.
KJ6YTB, I believe, got you in here. Anybody else? All right, anybody can check in anytime. Everybody can always listen up, and, of course, it's an open net, and anybody with any questions at any point in time, jump in there. All right, Mike, before we get started on our topic, what's happening out there in DX report from ham radio in the general bands there? What's going on?
Okay, Tom. Well, right now, last time I checked, Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 80. We got an SFI of about 102, solar flux index of about 102. But really cool, or not, depending on how you look at it, we had a major solar flare go off this morning, GMT time. It was an X6.9, you know, almost an X7 flare. And on a 1 to 9 scale, you know, that's a pretty good solar flare. Looks like it may just give the Earth a glancing blow, not a direct hit, but has already caused some radio blackouts, and we may have some issues coming out of that. Not major stuff, but we may have some issues. But the cool part about that is the strongest one in cycle 24. So maybe that signals that cycle 24 is heating up. And come on, guys, grab your 10-meter, 6-meter radios, your HF radios, and upgrade if you're going to. And, things may start hopping. We'll just see how it goes. I'm not going to promise anything. As far as DX, I haven't been spending a lot of time with it. Worked a G5KC in Britain on 20-meter sideband on Sunday morning. And Rod K6ROD called me up on 2 meters and told me that there was a Korean station on 17-meter CW. And I worked him, but I wasn't really able to copy him like I should, so I sent 7.3s and got out of there a little quickly. Anyway, and that's about the story from this end. But, boy, I hear Bob, WA6MQF, in there. He's the guy that should really be giving this DX report. I mean, if there's any DX to be sniffed out, he's the guy. Hey, Tom, let's ask him and see what's cooking over at Bob's. Back to net control. This WB6CLZ.
All right, Mike, appreciate all that. Sounds like we've got some activity there. Bob, got anything out there on the DX channel there? What's happening?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. The South Sudan station is still coming in pretty well. I worked him yesterday on phone and the day before on CW, and this morning on 20-meter sideband, Brunei came in, and I was able to work him. All of this was only about 500 watts, but the DX is coming in, and that makes me happy. Back to you. Over.
Oh, good deal there, Bob. Yeah, KF6Q here on the Tech Tuesday net. Every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Well, that's great to hear. Let's see. I don't know if Chris is out there. Once in a while, he has stuff to give us. But anybody else out there that has anything about good old HF band DX out there, please come back. KF6Q. All right. Sounds like that's about it, at least what we're going to get this evening. Well, let's see. Next on the agenda is our ham satellite report. Clint, K6LCS, what's cooking out there in the about 100 to 500 miles up?
K6LCS. Oh, my gosh, what an exciting week we've had. Each Saturday the past 2 weekends, we've had successful contacts from kids to the International Space Station. And on Wednesday, we finally got our Arasat-1 deployed by the Russians aboard the ISS. Break for a second. As they brought the satellite out the hatch, we are not sure if one of the 440 antennas snapped off or if it wasn't attached. But anyway, we're working with the reception antenna on 440. It's only an inch and a half long as opposed to 6.5 inches long. But FM downlink on 145.95, working great. The linear transponder, 435 up, 145 down, perfect. If you got a little bit of power and some patience, as the cassette shredder antenna. The CW beacon, perfect. The on 2 meters, we have the sideband EPSK 1K telemetry, working great. The satellite is just wonderful. Two nights ago, I went out about 9:45 in the evening our time and heard the FM downlink. It honest to goodness, it was quieter than the background noise we're having right now on the Big Bear machine. Break for a sec. So Arasat is up and deployed. CelesTrak has the Keplerian data. Spacetrak.org has the KEP data. If your source for KEPS doesn't have it yet, it's about 2 minutes, almost 2 minutes ahead of the ISS right now, and a little bit lower in elevation. But if you're using ISS KEPS, plus or minus a couple minutes, but the KEPS are on my site, work WORK-SAT.com, WORK-SAT.com, or Celestrak or Spacetrak.org. Break for a sec. I hear folks as recently as a couple nights ago, and on this machine, on another machine here in the region, decry, bemoan the fact that kids are getting more on the Internet and are interested in space. Well, we've received in the ARISS program more than 108 applications from schools across the country to talk to the astronauts next year. That's about 108 kids, excuse me, 108 students, don't try this again, that's 108 applications. It's about 100 kids each. That's 108 excellent teachers, 108 supportive principals. So space and ham radio are still very much the forefront with kids in our country. So we are very happy to have that many applications. We're going to turn half of them away, probably. That's all I've got on the satellite front. Go out there, go outside, work ARISS-AT-1 tonight or tomorrow night, and check out the website for anything you need. And we are an AMSAT official bulletin station now on a Tech Tuesday net. K6LCS.
Okay, Quinn. Hey, appreciate that. So essentially that antenna on the 440 band that's, say, missing about, you know, what, a few inches there, but that would be for the uplink. So if we crank up the power a little bit, that would pretty much overcome that.
On the traditional satellites, when someone says they can hear the satellite tumbling in space and hear the ins and outs of a signal, I privately, well, never publicly say, but privately think they're crazy. In this case, this will make a difference. If the satellite is not facing you and it hasn't quite stabilized yet, but if it it's not directly facing you, yeah, you might have a slight loss signal there for a few seconds. But successful reports, hundreds of successful reports, as quickly as 25 minutes after deployment last week on all modes, on all the modes that are in the machine. So we are very, very happy.
Well, fantastic. So as that stabilizes, we're looking forward to just probably just everything being perfect if it's not so already. So, well, good deal. And I appreciate all that information, Clint, and keeping us up to date with what's going on. So fantastic stuff there. All right. Topic for this evening is operating your ham radio in an emergency. We kind of got over this a little bit last week. Some of the things we've done. Had a little drill today. Little incident up here in the mountain, and once again, appreciate everybody's help on that. Sharing the information in a very organized way and keeping everybody up to date. One thing, of course, we always want to make sure if we're repeating information, no matter what it is, that we try to keep it as accurate as possible. All righty. Anyway, this, let me reset real quick. This information is based on the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. That's AERS, A-R-E-S, Field Resources Manual. I'll let you know where this came from. Pretty good group to join if you're going to be out there helping out in times of emergency, but you know, we're going to pull from their information tonight and go from there. Mike, I just want to make sure, are we on the same page yet? Same thing you've got out there?
Confirm, Tom. Yep, I am right now on page 204, but I really didn't mark where we left off last time. So, yep, we're here. We're on the same page, hopefully.
Okay, I think where we left off is we never got here. We were thinking about it. But anyway, if we did, we're just going to start up from this and start from the beginning. This information, of course, is available online. If you need that link, and me an email at kf6q@arrl.net, and I will forward that link to you with a message and a couple other things there if you're interested, and it'll help you out there to get this stuff in here for the future. Anyway, disaster, that's something we don't want to happen, but it does happen, And the thing is amateur radios out there to help when that does happen. Mike, what is the first thing anytime, no matter who you are or what group you belong to, what's the first thing you got to do?
Okay, here we go again. I guess the first thing is you've got to listen and make sure the frequency's clear. I don't know.
Okay, I don't think you have the paper in front of you. All right, I'll go ahead and I'll lead this through. I'm sorry. All right, on the list here, first thing is number one, check that you, your family, and your property are safe and secure before you respond as an emergency communicator volunteer, or if you're even going to be involved or want to be involved. You have to check yourself and your family and your house and whatever, whether it's earthquake, tornado, hurricane, does not matter. You are number one on your list, and that is number one. Let me reset. Second thing, if you're all listening in on this net, then this is one of your primary emergency frequencies. If you're a ham, there are other emergency frequencies out there that help you out. If you've got a scanner, you may have some of those to also help out with different agencies, kind of keep you up to date. There's a lot of public broadcasts out there that kicks in. But like I said, right here with ham radio, whether it's this repeater or another repeater, there is a lot of us out there that will kick in with that, and you're going to probably get a lot of information. So this should be on your list as one of your major primary emergency frequencies, or at least something to check with. Let me reset. Hey, this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday. On the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Now, if you are going to participate or you're with a group, we need to have this organized, and that's called a net, and it's called a net control or an official who's going to keep directing traffic on the radio. Obviously, everybody wants to talk at once. That's not going to work. So using an organized method of control allows people to get the information back and forth. You can monitor what's going on. You can request information. But the first thing is you need to follow the instructions you will receive from the net control person or official. So that's primary number one. Sorry, actually number three on the list, but that's one of the primary things you got to pay attention to. All right. Check in if you're requested to check in. And if you're not on that list, listen up. Try not to interfere. Pay attention, and you are well apt to be able to supply information if necessary and when possible. In the meantime, try not to interfere with the traffic, and I kind of like stay out of the way, but listen up because you're definitely valuable. You're another asset out there. You're another eyes and ears. So very, very important. And last but not least is to contact your local emergency communications leader for further instructions. You know, if you are on that list and he's going to hand out, say, a set of what we call SOPs, which is standard operating procedure, of what you're going to do. If you're up here at the Big Bear Valley CERT or any other CERT, they have specific operating procedures to be organized as much as possible. And that's important because basically when things happen like this, chaos really rules. We need to try to be as organized as possible to avoid letting that take over. Let me reset. And of course, what that means is you got to try to focus. It's going to be very difficult to do so depending on the incident. If we have had a major earthquake, and I mean a very major earthquake, there's going to be a lot of things to deal with, and possibly we'll touch on that maybe next week. We're going to go through this as a kind of an outline tonight, and go cover as much territory as we can. All right, Mike, anything to add to that as I'm pulling from this four-page article here? I believe this is from dummies.com, very weird name for a website, but I got to guarantee you, great information. This is from the ARES. Anything to add?
Yeah, Tom, one thing is, you know, keep your head on straight, and everybody's had some training, you know, especially CERT members, ECS members, and, you know, kind of remember your training and follow your training. You know, that way you're more of a help than you are a hindrance. You know, you want to contribute. You don't want to just cause problems and you know, jam up the frequency. So, you know, follow the training and all of the information you've received over the year.
Roger that. Great. Yeah, good deal there. Well, anyway, moving ahead here, let's kind of look at some of these things that can happen. And we did briefly talk about Harry, KE6RJ, 75-year-old man, got dropped right into the rollover on 38. And he was not in the rollover, but he was shortly behind it, came across it, and with his training was at least able to assist directing traffic away from the vehicle. So it just kind of kicked in. I think that's really great. It's amazing. A lot of people will panic and not know what to do, and that's very normal. So anyway, let's move ahead here. Reporting an accident. That's Mike, what is the basic thing? If we do have ham radio, but to follow the procedures of all our agencies, what is it that we would like to have a person do, regardless of whether you're a ham or not, if you can?
Well, one thing, you know, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. One thing is especially in the Big Bear area, don't assume that people with cell phones are reporting something. If you see an accident, like especially parts of Highway 38, you know, where ham radio is one of the few ways that you can communicate with emergency dispatch, you know, don't assume that it's already been called in by somebody with a cell phone. Go ahead, call, you know, declare an emergency, say break or break emergency, and get on the air and give your information out.
Yeah, Roger that. If you do have a cell phone and it is working, dial 911 and get that going. The problem is, like you say, up here in Big Bear, chances are it may not work in the area you're at, especially if you're on the outskirts. And it is important to, you know, if you can, try that method. However, we're talking about ham radio, and it's great. You can also double up and notify on the radio that incident. To do a professional, not broadcast method, you can simply call me. I might be out there. Who knows? If I am, I am. If I'm not, you could just say, hey, KF6Q, we've had an incident here, and by golly, if I'm listening, I'll come back. But if I don't, at least you were trying to contact me. You also gave that information at the same time, and that is perfectly legal with the FCC. So anyway, that is one good thing there. Also, you may have somebody come back to you anyway and request more information. May I reset?
LCS for a sec.
Yes, go ahead, Quinn.
And if you're a landline person or a cell phone person relaying something you're hearing from ham radio, you can dial 911 for any traffic accident, any debris on the freeway or debris on the road, or disabled female motorist anywhere on the highway system, as opposed to a disabled male motorist on the right shoulder, usually a safer situation. But debris on the highway, any accident, disabled female motorist anywhere, you may use the 911 system.
Well, that's good to know. I know we all, we don't call 911 for directions. No, wait a minute, that's 411 or 6. Exactly. We know we respect the 911 number for emergencies. And good to know that. Here again, as we tend to relay information, if you're doing that from a ham, you can relay his call sign, relay information. Another little point here I want to make before we get any further along. If you're in a vehicle and let's say you're in a vehicle and you're the ham, and you're driving, you get in a wreck, you're unconscious, but your passenger, who is not a ham, can they use your radio? Of course they can. It's a matter of life and death. They can pick up that radio. Who knows what's happening to you? You're unconscious. You could be dying in a matter of life and death. That is allowed, of course, by the FCC of any ways or means or frequencies for communication. Let me reset real quick. And, Mike, anything you could add to that part before we move ahead?
One thing that we didn't mention is, you know, everybody is always taught to only use the amount of power it takes to complete your communications. But in something like that, if you've got a radio that's got steps 5, 10, 30, and like this one, 75 watts, turn up your radio's power all the way. I mean, in a situation where you're reporting an emergency situation, you want to make sure you're heard. You want to make sure you are, if possible, the strongest signal. So in that instance, kind of disregard that rule and kick the power up and go to town and don't be shy. You know, I mean, if there's somebody on there, like I said before, brake or brake emergency or anything like that to get their attention.
Okay, F6Q here, Tech Tuesday, every 1900 hours on every Tuesday. I think the 19 hours only comes once, though. And that is, you know, a good point there as far as breaking in the conversation. Do not hesitate. Do not wait for a pause. If there is one, great. Jump in there, though. Like Mike said, if you are running more power, you're going to probably swap out somebody else. And if you do, that's a good thing in this case, because whoever is listening is going to hear you and just break in there as an emergency, and then hopefully they'll open that up for you. Anyway, Mike, moving ahead. Second thing on that next list we have here on these items, we reset. Would be control of the repeater or the frequency. State that you have an emergency report. In that case, you have just become not priority traffic. You are emergency traffic. You have all the priorities in the world. That is your right and actually is the procedure that should be followed. Mike, what's the next thing here on the list?
The next thing is they talk about auto patch, and you know, auto patch lets you make a phone call from the repeater. I don't know, this repeater does not have auto patch, but you may be on a repeater that has auto patch, and you can make a telephone call to 911 right from there. Then just state your information and go on.
Comment.
Yeah, to Harold here real quick. Yeah, a lot of the auto patch stuff is no longer around. There might be some out there, but anyway, go ahead, Harold.
Right. One thing with a cell phone, you dial 911, it goes to CHP automatically. It doesn't go for the local system. And what I do down here in my phone, I have my first auto dial. Is the non-emergency number for the police department. Police and fire both use the same emergency and non-emergency numbers down here. And I just kick in on the non-emergency, and if it's an emergency, then you automatically tell the operator, the call taker, that you have an emergency and a degree of emergency, and that way they can regulate it in with their regular calls. If CHP takes it, they relay it. Sometimes if they're swamped, it takes a good while. Sometimes somebody punches the wrong button somewhere along the line and the whole works just goes like to Mars and nobody hears from it again. So it's best if you can to get for the sheriffs or for your local cops and fire department to get the non-emergency number. Put it in your phone, 8060.
Yeah, roger that. You might want to add a little bit, one thing here I'd like to add. When we had the big snow here and 911 was out, there wasn't any 911. Now, if you do, let's say if there's a medical, paramedic emergency of some sort like that, they'll be hooked up directly to command comm, which is going to dispatch that out to whichever stations are available. But it would be a typical example of, let's say if you call the Big Bear Lake Fire Department, direct quickly because you had a fire. Problem with that is if they are already out, there's nobody there. I have been in there. There was nobody there but me as a backup. And the problem is now you're calling, you're actually delaying things even further yet. Now, chances of that happening, possibly not going to happen that often. So that's why they actually, if you can, they requested you dial 911. They'll route it to who's out there. And I know that if you do dial direct, I'm not saying you can't do that, but there's a lot of different pros and cons for both ways. So anyway, though, good point, though, Harold, and we don't want to pass that up. Let me reset. Now, as we don't use auto patch anymore, if at all, the auto patch, if it's going to be anything, would be a ham who didn't have. Let's say I'm a ham, I see this, I don't have a cell phone with me, or I have no cell phone service. I will need somebody out there who does. So that would, the person out there, the listener, will become, one of you out there will become the auto patch. How about that? Mike, we have a couple of things, a lot of different things here that are important. If we're out on the highway, go ahead and start with that list there.
There are certain things you know, if you need to know if you're reporting an emergency. And, you know, if you're out on the highway, you need to know the highway number or the street, you know, where the emergency's at. Mile marker or address, you know, that where we're at. Which directions of traffic are blocked or where the incident is. And whether the accident is blocking traffic, if there are injuries and apparent. And I might add on that one, don't get over the air and say there are dead bodies all over the street. Don't give any information. You're not qualified to give that out. Just report that, yes, there are injuries. No, there are not injuries. And it's also good to report if the vehicles are on fire, smoking, spilled fuel, you know, anything you notice like that that might contribute to the hazard.
YNW.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I think the best thing you call them, say, I have an accident or I have an accident with injuries, then they know where to go and then give the information. Their priorities are set up that way. K6YNW.
And LCS.
Okay, good point there, Chris. Yes, go ahead, Quinn.
If you're reporting traffic from a station out in the field, you should say the very first words to any legal dispatcher is, I have a report of, and then your incident. I have a report of. That really, that's a liability issue. It also keys the dispatcher to ask some other questions. But I have a report of, lets them know it's third-party traffic coming in. And direction of travel of the accident, very, very important. You know, somebody can bleed out in just a few minutes. And several times, eastbound versus westbound, or north versus south. So the person who's taking the traffic at home, repeat what the person just told you. Oh, that's northbound Interstate 110 at 9th Street, and that the person who's reporting it's going to jar them, make them think, oh, my God, no, I'm leaving L.A., it's southbound. But if you repeat the direction of travel, the street, and the cross street, before you call 911, or as you're calling 911, that just is a double insurance for getting it right. Getting it right is the important thing.
YNW again.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. Now, we had a problem calling 911, saying I'm a ham radio operator reporting this information, and I haven't come across one 911 that doesn't know how to handle that. K6YNW.
Roger that. I just I know through a lot of the training out there, they recommend that as a default. So we'll pretty much leave that as that. Good point there about direction and repeating. Any of you who listened in with the San Bernardino County ECS, a lot of us out there today helping out, and a lot of us helping out over the weekend on that tour to Big Bear. Traffic of handling just not, these were non-emergencies. But clarifying, as each post or SAG vehicle would be reporting in information or a status, they would state where they are, direction, or possible information, and the race control or whatever would be the net control would base basically repeat back exactly what we said. And this is kind of what Clint's saying there. That way you can hear what they thought you said, even maybe that's not what you thought you said, even if you did say it. Gives you a chance to correct that. And at that point, you can, or if it's correct, you can roger that out, QSL, well, QSL ham term, but basically okay it, stamp it, approve it, and move ahead. Very important, probably not as much important as an event as it is with an accident. It's very important. And you say, yes, they just went by. Well, which direction? Okay. Anyway, Mike, anything to add?
Well, I have a question, and you know, I'm an old Navy radioman, and in the old days, we used to use Mayday, you know, and I know in this, one of the next thing we're going to be getting into is it tells you to call Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. I don't know if we use that in hams. Can you enlighten me on that situation?
You know, Mike, all this information you and I are pulling here actually came from the ARES guide, and I think that term is probably fine. Stated as an emergency, better, you know, I mean, obviously only during an absolute emergency. But I'm going to hand it out there. Does anybody out there know any difference? Please come back.
Got it.
Okay, we had two people in there. Somebody jump out of there again.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Mayday is an official aeronautical and marine term. I believe just brake, 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 or brake for emergency traffic would suffice in ham radio.
Okay, Bill, appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't quite, when you were jumping there before, remember, press the key. Wait a second. We only caught the tail end of it, that's all. Anybody else out there, any other comments? Good information, though. That's very proper, Bill. That would work. Actually, I think both would. Anybody else with any more info also, please come back.
86 Neil.
Now go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, in the question pool, or the preparation for question pool, I had to take two of them to get my first license, novice technician. It told the rules on using Mayday or SOS. ARRL has there's a definite rule on it. That's what I'm trying to say. And ARRL has that information. I'm sure it's quite prominent on their website, 86L.
Yeah, Harold, and that, actually that's a good thing. All this stuff, there's a lot of information out there, ARRL, a lot of information also. Just do a Google on ARES. Or RACES. Also, both good organizations, ECS, San Bernardino County, CERT in general. You're going to pull up a lot of information on this, so a couple of good links there. So, anyway, I guess the next thing here would only be if you have a GPS for latitude and longitude, but if you have an address of the emergency, if you're by a mile marker, let's talk about mile markers real quick here. Mike, I'm at mile marker 27.5 on Highway 38. So what does that mean, other than it is a spot on the map, but what's that mean?
That is basically a reference as to you're 28 miles from, and I don't know whether it's from Big Bear or whether it's from the down part of the hill. I'm sure you can enlighten us on that. But I understand that there is a map coming out soon that is going to give us, you know, if you say you're at that mile marker, it's going to give you an exact location of where that mile marker is. I know you had mentioned that, Tom. Why don't you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, actually, well, that would be 27 and a half miles. I'm going to say that's somewhere getting close to Barton Flats. Maybe it is Barton Flats, but that is actually from the beginning of Highway 38, which I believe is Orange Avenue as it co- comes off to 10. I believe that's where it starts. So from there, all the way up to the end, and I think the end's up here somewhere in Big Bear, that's the mile marker. So the closer you get to Big Bear, actually, the bigger that number is going to get. Another thing, yes, Tracy Lineker, Mountain Division Chief, and myself and a few others are working on putting a reprintable map together, which will be great. It'll actually show all the mile marker reference points. So if you say, well, Onyx Summit, what is that? What's a mile marker? I don't know. But you will know with this. And if somebody gives that mile mark, you'll say, okay, well, that's just before Onyx or just after, because Onyx is this. Gives you a good physical reference besides a number. GPS coordinates are great if you have a GPS. If you don't, you're going to be kind of stuck there. Also going to try to include some of the forest roads up there for people up here. General good map. There are some things out there. If you want those links, send me an email. There is some information out there as PDF maps. They're huge if you're going to print them, but they are good for reference. You can blow them up on your computer and see where things are. Let me reset. All right. Anyway, anybody, any questions or anything to add to that, please come back involving mile markers.
OLCS.
Well, Clint, I'm glad you're participating through this whole discussion. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Go ahead, Clint.
Yeah, our call boxes also are mileage markers. They all have the highway or street they're on. A high, the max digits are mileage markers, usually starting from the county line. But if you see that ahead of you of your incident, or, you know, honest to goodness, going up windy roads, I will look at mileage markers and highway call sign call boxes. And, just note where I'm at. But yeah, call boxes are also a good information for where you're at on the highway.
Oh, good deal there. That also would probably be a good thing for us to put on the map just another thing to have on there. And you must be mobile. You're getting a little weak out there. Anyway, good deal. Anybody else? Any other things to add about mile markers?
KJ6KDL.
Jim, KJ6KDL, go ahead.
Yeah, we went over this topic, I don't know, probably about 9 months ago when I was really, really new. And I forget who came back and validated this question that I had. Sometimes mile markers are not visible, such as snow. And I posed the question, what if we had GPS coordinates? And somebody came back who was from the police department and said that GPS coordinates are convertible by both fire and police.
Oh, roger that. Well, that's very good to know. I'm sure of that. However, if you're a ham out there listening and somebody says, I'm at GPS coordinates, blah, 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 well, that's great. And if you don't have a GPS, what you also can do, there's a good little converter out there. Once again, send me an email, get you a link to that. You can bring that up on your screen. You could have it as a little tool, put it on your desktop, bring that up. We'll convert a GPS set of coordinates to, I don't know, wherever, I guess you bring it up on a map or something. I'm not sure exactly how that thing works, but it's pretty cool. So there's a lot of stuff out there. Appreciate that, Jim. Good info. That's good to know. Anybody else out there? Any information or more comments before we close out mile markers?
Comment.
Go ahead, Harold.
That's not a bad idea with your smartphones, your little standard phone like I have on to it. But the smartphones, almost all of them have a GPS in them. And it broadcasts that along with your signal, and the police are able to use that. I hear them here in Riverside all the time. When they can't get the exact information from a caller because maybe they're, you know, sick or having a stroke or something, and they're using a cell phone with a GPS in it, they pick up the Latin long right on the screen there, 86 field. You have to activate that, though.
Oh, we're good. good deal. That's excellent information. Just kind of summarizing here on this first part here, Mike, if you're following along. So essentially, first you want to announce that you do have an emergency, whether you use Mayday or a brake emergency. Emergency traffic, any of those things like that to get in if it's busy. If it's not busy, jump in there anyway and state that. And then you want to give, of course, the location or address of the emergency, the nature of the emergency, as I think Chris said, a accident or accident with injuries. As Clint said, basically, if it's on a freeway, which direction? That is important on a freeway because you're not going to jump across the median. Type of assistance you need. That's kind of a judgment call, as we're not going to be able to tell them other than that there's possible injuries, and that's all we could really say. Getting beyond that, you're diving into territory that is we are not trained for as professionals. Unless you are, then if you are, good deal. Most of us are not. Even if we have Red Cross training or CPR, you know, anything like that, still got to remember, we are the amateurs. So anybody to add on that? I think that's pretty much on what we're going to do with that. And we're going to go into handling the distress signal, which you would be the person hearing this. So anything to add on that before we close that topic out? All right. Anyway, next is what if you're out there, you got the radio on, you're just monitoring, and you hear somebody out there with emergency traffic. Mike, what's the first thing there? I mean, you got your list there. What is the very highlighted first thing that you need to do?
The first thing is make sure you have something to write information on. You know, immediately find something to record the information. Note the time, note the frequency, you know, that's going to help out, and you're going to have it right in front of you. And you want to make sure that you know the location, get in contact with the people, know the location, the address of the emergency. Basically what we went through, but a little bit different because this is all over the air. You're hearing somebody over the air and the nature of the problem, what type of assistance, such as medical, transportation aid, any other information that's available. And write that down and have it in front of you so you can, you're not relying on your memory.
Yeah, essentially, as they have on the list here, it's just exactly the same thing, but now you're the listener and you're the one asking these questions. Like you said, nature of the problem, location, once again, address or latitude, longitude, type of assistance, or any other information that you can get out there. And of course, you're going to respond to this call when you basically want to get out there with your call sign and say, hey, what is your nature of your emergency? Anyway, Mike, after that, going on the next page here. Let's see. Okay. And you know what? We know that Morse code is still out there. We're talking on a audio link here. But don't forget, SOS still is a standard if you're sending out Morse code. So once you get this on the next page, what's the next topic there, Mike?
After you get the information, then you ask the station in distress to remain on the frequency. Then you give a call to the appropriate agency, such as 911 or, you know, whatever agency, Coast Guard, whoever you need to contact. And then as soon as possible, report back to the station in distress and tell them who you contacted. Give them any information that might have been relayed back to you, and let them know. And then you need to stay on frequency as long as the station in distress or the authorities need your assistance.
Roger that. And that's all good stuff there. Mainly to make sure and stay there until the situation is complete as far as everybody is dispatched out. Now, a lot of this we're talking about right here, you're on a highway. We're up here in Big Bear. We probably have exaggerated, but millions of miles of forest, off-road forest trails and roads up here that just go everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. They're up here. They're all the way to we can say all the way over to the other side of the 15 freeway. They're over by San Jacinto. A lot of forest roads. A couple of things I know for a fact. You get in a canyon, your GPS is not going to work. You're going to have steep walls. You're going to be very lucky to pick up enough satellites to get a reading. So that's going to be an issue. Radio transmission is also going to be a little more difficult. This is where it's good to have a very good mobile unit. An HT is a good thing to have, but a good mobile unit with some good power, 50 watts, 70 watts, something like that, climb out of that canyon, because sometimes that's all you're going to have. Anything to add on that, Mike?
Well, of course, being an HF guy, it's always good to have an HF radio or an all-band radio and an antenna to go with that, too. You know, it's like Tom says, if you are in a canyon, if you are somewhere deep, there's a lot of times that you can get out your HF. And, I mean, you might be talking to a guy in New Mexico, but he can still call the local agency and relay that information.
Roger that. I think last week when we first started this, I do believe Christy had a report on that. Good information. A net that was going on. It was quite some place away. However, they were able to handle the emergency traffic. So good stuff there. Anyway, all right. Well, let's see. We're going to wind this down for this evening. I know we're not going to make it through all this, but it is 8 o'clock, and we're going to have to probably pick up some more of this next week. But all this stuff right here is some good information on how to handle stuff, good reading, do some research. If you are going to sign up or are signed up with one of the volunteer agencies up here, ECS, AIRS, or RACES, or CERT, like that, we are starting a whole training program in radio, not how to press the button, basically how to handle these situations and practice them. Not that we don't know how to do it, but you just got to practice them, so when we go have to do that, it becomes automatic. And that's the main thing. So in closing, anything else out there to add, Mike?
Yeah, I have a frequency that if anybody has a shortwave radio or a ham radio, of course, there's the maritime net, which is really neat to listen to. You'll hear occasionally emergencies out to sea and stuff like that. And that's at 14300. That's called the maritime net. And, you know, they're on most of the time, day and night. And it's they're in support of ships out at sea that only have primarily ham radio for their communications. Other than that, yeah, good net. This is good to know. And I think we've covered it pretty well.
Story. Sound like Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Sure, Mike, you chimed in just exactly on cue. So about a little over a year ago, I took some emergency traffic from a ham radio operator out in a sailboat heading into San Pedro, and they had someone on the boat that was in need of a very odd, hard-to-come-by bit of medicine. And they had a contact number in San Pedro and a doctor, and so they read out all this stuff that I copied down, and then I called the doctor's office and reported the situation, and they went out and met the boat. And this was potentially a life-threatening situation handled on 20 meters. When they contacted me, they were about 700 miles out from San Pedro. Over.
Oh, good deal. By the way, KJ6BCL did a little research on the Mayday Mayday, so everybody out there is still listening in. This is test question T8A09 of the Technician Class Amateur Radio License. What is an appropriate way to initiate an emergency call on amateur radio? So, and the answer is, from the question pool, say, and this is for example only if anybody's listening, say Mayday, 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 followed by any station, come in please, and then identify your station. And that is the correct answer. So whether you're on land, sea, or air, that is actually on the tech test. This is dated December 31st, 2007. So I would say that even it's probably still on the, even though we have an updated set of questions now, I bet that's still there. So any other comments or questions, please come back.
LCS.
Yes, Quinn, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're the person who's calling law enforcement or whomever, stay off your landline for 15 or 20 minutes afterwards also. They might call. I've had instances where they've called back just to verify something. And also those notes that you take from those hams in the field that are calling things in, whether it's on a post-it, the back of a business card, or a formal form, hold on to it. Put it in your station records. Put a date on it. Write down notes. And just keep it for a few months just in case. And, Tom, I developed a form for us hams in conjunction with Caltrans and CHP. I go to their TIP meetings every other month in L.A., and I'll forward that to you. It's a very easy form and to fill out for something you hear on the air. K6LCS.
Well, Clint, appreciate that. That's great information. Yeah, please get that to me. Just one more time for the CERT members up here in Big Bear and any ECS that would like to help. What we're trying to do is we have a lot of new CERT members. CERT typically uses an FRS radio system, a very low-powered UHF version of CB, in my opinion. But it's there, and you don't need a license, and it works, and it has different channels. So this is the basis of communication. So we're setting up a protocol to train them to use professional methods so they're not out there, hey, Jim, this is Joe. We need to get a little bit of control. Organization, because we still, whether they're hams or not, we need to do this. And then have, we're looking for some good hams to come out there and help us with this. A little more information, Q&A on programming and getting that stuff going. So in the upcoming weeks, Dave Jones, KI6OHE, really working hard to put this together. I'm giving him a hand. Got a couple other people out there working with him. So let me reset. And once we get all this in place, the next is practice, practice, practice. It's more important. Every day that goes on, this becomes more and more important. I think, as we all agree, it's not a matter of if an earthquake is going to happen. It's just it is going to happen, just when it's going to happen. And it can happen at the least convenient time, which is just about any time. Anything else like that, it happens. All this practice is going to help. Appreciate anybody else out there. If this is stuff you already know, you say, hey, I know that, I don't need that to learn that, then come on out and help us teach. That would be greatly appreciated. All right, in closing, last call for anybody with any comments.
KJ6KDL.
Yes, KJ6KDL, Jim, go ahead.
Okay, I just scanned the technician test that I took last year, the updated for the proper response to common practice during net operations to get the immediate attention of the net control station when reporting an emergency is begin your transmission with priority or emergency followed by your call sign. So I guess it changed a little bit or I'm on the wrong question.
Well, actually, as you'll see, go through the question pool. They'll have like a whole series of those. Possibly they've changed that, or possibly, I mean, I do agree with you that is probably also just as well. I think if somebody's yelling Mayday, I'm going to kind of get a good idea what that is. If somebody tells me it's emergency priority traffic, I'm going to pretty much know that too. So either way, they're both good. And, you know, and I think that's the main key point there. So, but I appreciate you jumping in there, Jim. Anybody else out there? What the doggone it, we're a little over an hour, but that's okay. Let's keep going.
KJ6, Peel.
Go ahead, Harold.
Right. One word of caution about using Mayday or SOS. Make sure that it is an emergency because there's severe fines and other penalties for sending out false Mayday or SOS, either one. And the CHP, I used to listen to a lot of emergency traffic on the Clara repeater. And one of their women that worked the monitoring had a form she got from the CHP, so she would have, and she photocopied it. emergency in, that she's going to have to answer from the CHP. And she kept a pile of those, like Cliff said. But they have a form there, and there's a set of questions they ask them all in the same order. And if you can get one of those and then pass it around, why, that probably would help your people monitoring 86 feel.
Yeah, good point there, Harold. And I know in the future here, too, especially in the next couple of months, we'll be working with some of the agencies up here, with the fire department and SO, and pulling all this together with them. That is very critical and helpful, so that we're all on the same page. But good stuff there. Anybody else out there with any questions or comments or suggestions, please come back. All right, well, I think we've covered a lot of territory this evening, and I appreciate everybody who has been out there and participated, and with a lot of good opinions, a lot of good questions, a lot of good information. So next week, we'll probably carry on a little bit about this, and then if not, we'll announce that. We'll go on to something bigger and better. It's always something bigger and better. All right, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as Net Control. The Deck Tuesday net, closing the net at 2000 hours and 10 minutes, maybe even 11, and returning the repeater to normal use. Thanking once again everybody for your participation. We'll see you again next week. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater.